If I were to have a personal conversation with you, I think almost every single one of you would say, I have some type of interaction with a Muslim at some time, at school, at work, you know, on my team at work, or whatever. So, how many? Yeah, lots of you. I'll tell you, I'll give you a little story. This goes long back, long ways back. My first interaction with a Muslim. I'm living in rural Pennsylvania, and I'm 19 years old. I'm single, and I believed at that time that anytime I saw a person on the side of a road, I felt like God wanted me to stop and help them and tell that person about Jesus. And that's what I did. Okay. And so one time, a car was on the side of the road, and I thought, well, I'm going to stop. And I did that. And as soon as I got out of the car and started heading back toward that car, these three guys put down what they're doing. They had the car jacked up, had a tire off, and they were kind of yelling and happy and excited to see me and thank me for stopping. And I said, you guys having some trouble? Now, remember, no cell phones. They were at the mercy of a police officer or some crazy kid like me. And I said, you need some help. We don't have a spare, he says. They said, we don't have a spare. So I said, listen, I know where a garage is real close. Let's get that tire. Let's go get it fixed. So get in the car and start to head toward the garage. And they said to me, why did you stop? You're white. I said, well, you really want to know. And I said, I have to be honest with you. I'm a follower of Jesus. I feel like God wants me to stop when I see people in distress, if I have time, and just help them in some way and to talk to them about Jesus. And I said, and I quote, I remember, have you considered that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty of your sin and that he loves you? And they said, we're Muslims. And I said, have you considered that? And I didn't really know too much about Muslims. And honestly, they were nice guys. I was trying to help them out. They were happy. They, you know, I didn't have a gun to my head, and they weren't stealing anything from my car. And I said, have you considered? And I said, well, we follow Muhammad, and our God is Allah, and there is no other. And then they started asking me questions about the Trinity. We really have a problem with the fact that you worship three gods. So I said, well, not really three gods, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we talked a lot about a lot of things. Honestly, mostly what we did was we took care of that tire. I tried to help them. I had to bring them back, get on an exit, go back and forth. But we talked about various things. I follow the Quran, follow the Bible, follow Muhammad, follow Jesus, and just a nice dialogue. And at that time, just being a kid, I thought, well, God, I did what I think you wanted me to do. I don't really know how to do anything else or go anywhere with them beyond that. And they'll just remember I was a nice guy, helped them change their tire, talked to them about Jesus. And when I left, I just said, I think you really should consider examining the Gospels, the Gospel of John, and study the life of Jesus. Because, honestly, Muhammad recognized Jesus. The Quran does not necessarily accurately portray him. But then I left. I was off. I had to go, you know, and never saw him again. Don't know how they really responded to that. Anything that really happened to them. But ever since then, all through my life, and in recent years, in increasing measure, I find myself having some kind of interaction with Muslims, and you may too. And today, I want to kind of give you a synopsis of the differences between Islam and Christianity. And I want you not so much to listen to what I have to say, but I'd love for you to get this book. I had a bunch of copies in the first service, and they took them all. Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. You may not really want to listen to this guy today. I'm Swedish. I'm white. You know, I don't have a lot of experience in a Muslim country, or even in relating, having a deeper relationship with Muslims. You may not want to listen to what I have to say today, but I think you should read this book, because this is a book by Nabil Qureshi, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, a devout Muslim encounters Christianity, and is very respectfully done. And you read about the story of this man's life and his conversion to Christianity and what he did in the last, say, 10 years of his life in reaching out to Muslim people and talking to them about the gospel and about their faith, which he at one time was devout in his following of the Muslim faith, of Muhammad and Islam. I want to pique your interest today, and I want you to consider the scriptures that you find in your sermon outline as we begin. Isaiah 43, 9 to 13. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. And from John's gospel, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And from Acts, salvation is found in Jesus alone, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And finally, from 1 Timothy 2, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It concerns me today that many people sitting in churches throughout America, and perhaps here at Trinity Church, think that Christianity and Islam are basically the same, only in different packaging. I've heard people say to me, don't we worship the same God? Just packaged different. Their God has Muhammad, our God has Jesus. Isn't it just different packaging? This concerns me because the truth is that Islam and Christianity are radically different and irreconcilable. This we have to acknowledge, friends. As you seek truth, whether someone is a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, an agnostic, an atheist, all right, these doctrines, these theological convictions, they're not the same. This is not the same God. They're radically different. They're irreconcilable. You can't say one is right and the other one is right. You can't say if people are just sincere, then they'll be saved. Then they'll be taken up into heaven. Well, that makes not Muhammad or Jesus the Savior. That makes sincerity the Savior. See, that's kind of a safe thing to say. out in culture and being polite, talking about religious things. Well, if as long as you're sincere, there isn't any religion that says sincerity is the savior. See, Islam says Muhammad is the one you follow. And he's not necessarily the savior. He just tells you what to do, the five pillars, and you earn salvation. Christianity says that sincerity is not the savior. Jesus is the savior. And he died. He shed his blood that you might receive salvation as a free gift. It's not about being sincere. It's about being right. It's about knowing what the truth is. We live in a free country that gives you permission to think. And as a pastor here, I'm not asking you to check your brains at the door. I'm asking you to bring them on inside. If you're here today, you want to disagree with anything I have to say and talk with me about what I have to say, that's great. I welcome that. Like I said, today I gave away a bunch of books. I'll have to get some more. If you want a copy, we'll just get you one. You don't have to give any money for it. We just want you to read it. Read this man's story. He had no reason to convert to Christianity. None whatsoever. But yet he does. And there are many like him. Now, as an individual, I tend to be skeptical. I tend to need a lot of convincing. I tend to ask too many questions. And when I was thinking about Islam and Christianity and the idea that some people want to make them basically the same, suggesting we worship the same God, it's just different packaging, I had these questions. If Christians and Muslims worship the same God, why did this God write two different books, make two different sets of rules, and establish two radically different worldviews for his followers? Those are honest questions that need answers. Because Christianity and Islam have two completely different books, the Bible and the Quran. Two different sets of rules, although some of them are similar. They're very different sets of rules about salvation, about so many things, about women. Christianity and Islam establish two radically different worldviews for their followers. I want to compare and contrast some aspects of these two. I want you to think. I want you to read. I want you to do your own homework. This is kind of just breaking the ice here. Five things I want to let you know. First of all, Allah is not Yahweh. The Quran is not the Bible. Muhammad is not Jesus. And salvation is not earned by works. It's not five, it's four. You cannot say that these things are the same. Allah is not Yahweh. Yahweh is not God in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is not Allah. The God of the Bible is not the God of the Quran. Allah was chosen by Muhammad out of a pantheon of 360 Arabic deities. He was meditating in a cave. He believes that an angel gave him revelations, and this went on throughout his life. And he picked Allah almost like an a la carte. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but honestly, it is the way that it happened. Jehovah God, Yahweh, the God of the Bible, is eternal and self-revealing. He revealed himself to humans. That's what the Bible teaches. He wasn't picked out of a mortgage board. Muslims believe that the Christian doctrine of the Trinity is blasphemous. That's why when I was with the three guys helping them out, that's the first thing they asked me about, do I believe in the Trinity? How can you believe in three gods? They believe that the Trinity is blasphemous. Allah, different from Yahweh, along the subject of love, Allah is pictured as distant, a bit angry, unknowable. His judgment can only be held back through adequate submission. And that's what Islam is mostly about, submission. Yahweh, on the other hand, Jehovah, Jesus, is always coming near to people. That's why the incarnation is so special. God becomes man, expressing love, giving the opportunity for redemption, for forgiveness, bringing peace, rest, and eternal life, saying that salvation is a free gift, not something you have to work for. Radically different ideas, worldviews about salvation. Allah says, kill those who don't believe and you can come to heaven. Yahweh died for those who don't believe so they can go to heaven. Now you think about that. Allah says, kill those who don't believe and you can come to heaven. Yahweh died for those who don't believe so they can go to heaven. Now, every Muslim isn't a murderer. As a matter of fact, most Muslims are peaceable people. But you do your research and you will find that the Quran makes provision for religion by force, for terroristic activities, for countries, East Asia and the Middle East, to do what they do. Putting people to death, beheading people for blasphemy, stoning people to death. Most Muslims in America are very peaceable. But where they can get away with it, there are groups that will be radical. And the Quran gives them that liberty. The Quran is not the Bible. Allah is not Yahweh, and the Quran is not the Bible. The Islamic view of the Bible is based on the belief that the Torah, Psalms, and Gospels were revelation from Allah that became distorted or corrupted. Muslims believe that Jesus was one of their prophets, a Muslim prophet, and that he was not the Son of God. They believe that he was never crucified, that he did not die and was not resurrected. They adamantly deny substitutionary atonement. And you have to know this. Substitutionary atonement is the foundational doctrine of Christianity. The entire Bible points to the cross and the shed blood of Jesus and his being a substitute, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You take away substitutionary atonement and you take away Christianity. Islam is often classified, along with Judaism and Christianity, as one of the three Abrahamic faiths. I want you to track with me on this. This is important because Abraham is a huge character in the early formation of the plan of God, the narrative of salvation. But the Muslim conception of Abraham is radically different from the Judeo-Christian tradition. In Islam, Abraham is the prototypical Muslim prophet, and that it is in the Quran in which the religion of Abraham is to be found. In other words, the religion of Abraham is only correctly portrayed in the Quran. For example, a distinctive of Abraham in the Quran is the report that he and his son Ishmael built the Kaaba in Mecca and established it as a place of worship for Allah. The Abraham of the Quran differs so much from the Abraham of the Bible that it is misleading to claim that they refer to the same person. What am I saying? I'm saying either the Quran has grossly misrepresented Abraham or the Bible has. Because if you read what the Quran says about Abraham, you read what the Bible says about Abraham, it's completely different. You have to decide who's telling the truth. The Quran does not stand up to textual criticism. As you look at the way it was recorded, the manner it was carried on in the tradition, the textual criticism doesn't stand up. And that's a whole class in and of itself. But I'm sharing these things with you today to kind of get the juices flowing and maybe do a little research for yourself. So Allah is not God, the Quran is not the Bible, and Muhammad is not Jesus. And this is the most important one, friends. The essential difference between Christianity and Islam is the difference between Jesus and Muhammad. Very simply put, Jesus was God incarnate who became a spiritual leader who laid down his life to save the world by substitutionary atonement. Muhammad was a spiritual leader who became a political leader, then a violent military leader. Jesus accomplished his mission by dying on a cross. Not by killing anyone, not by starting a radical political movement. He said, pray for your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Peter was sleeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is basically arrested, and Peter wakes up and he realizes Jesus is in trouble. I have to go help Jesus. Judas has led this arrest. Peter comes up to the Roman guard and is going to take him with the sword right down the center, the metal guard for his helmet. And he's groggy, he's sleepy. What does he do? He ends up what? Chopping the guard's ear off, right? That's what we're told. His ear is chopped off. And Jesus, what does Jesus do? He basically says, stop the program, Peter. You're not drunk, but you sure are groggy. Just put the sword away. He takes that man's ear, he puts it back on, and he heals him. You read it. You know, that's the ultimate statement of Jesus about religion by force. Put it away. Put the sword away. Put the violence away. The most violent act that Jesus ever committed was to die on a cross and shed his blood and then go to Hades and basically tell the devil, you are defeated. The act of violence that Jesus committed was against the devil himself, basically to say, you cannot have people who look to me. That victory was won. Christianity is the way of the cross. Islam is the way of the sword, friends. It is the way of the sword. It is the way of 911. It is the way of beheading and persecution. And although most Muslims are not violent, the Quran gives them permission to be so. And in certain countries, the killing goes on. The persecution goes on. Do you realize that in the United States of America, a Muslim can, without any fear, try to convert a Christian to the Muslim faith? Do you realize that? Muslims can do whatever they want to try to convert Christians to the Muslim faith here in America. And they live to tell about it. You try to do that in Iran. Try to do that in Iraq. You try to do that in many of the Middle Eastern countries. And if you are not dead in a week, you might be in a month. Because of social media, because of the world's getting so much smaller, because of technology, it's getting a little harder for those countries to be doing those kinds of things. But listen, there are Christians dying every day just simply because they're Christians. My niece, Esther, is married to Brian. We support them. They're over in the Middle East. They're not even allowed to say where they're at. He's teaching in a university. They're with a team of missionaries, and I'm not even going to say where they're from, what missionary organization they're with. But they're seeking to reach Muslims. And it all has to be done in a very secret manner. Why? Because they'll kill them. Christianity is the way of the cross. We die for you. We give our lives for you. Jesus gave his life for us. Christians are giving their lives for Muslims in many Muslim countries. Islam is the way of the sword. I hate to put a number on it, but I am. It's estimated that Muhammad had as many as 12 wives. Now, it could be plus or minus. He limited other men to 4 wives apiece. I don't know why they could only have 4 and he could have, you know, a lot more, 3 times that. But Muhammad sanctioned the beating of wives. Muhammad was well known for spreading his new religion by force. He commanded, fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them. And he specified the proper way to execute an unbeliever was to cut his throat. Muhammad led raids against caravans to plunder their goods, broke oaths, ordered the murder of those who mocked him, and wiped out the last Jewish tribe in Medina. He killed all the men and enslaved the women and children. I propose to you that Islam is a man's religion. That their treatment of women is inhumane. That they do not treat women as human beings. You do the research, you study it. It's a crying shame. Whereas the Christian faith, if you read the New Testament in a cultural context, you realize that the New Testament is elevating the status of women to the point where the original audiences gasped at the power and position that women had in the church, in families, and so on and so forth. Christianity is the reason women can vote. Christianity is the reason why slavery was abolished. Christianity is the reason for a lot of things that it doesn't get credit for, if truth be known. Now, the last and final point I want to make is that salvation, Allah's not God, the Quran's not the Bible, Muhammad's not Jesus, and salvation is not earned by works. And Islam will say that salvation comes by observing the 5 pillars, to recite the Shahada, there is no God but Allah, to pray 5 times a day, bowing toward Mecca, to fast, especially during the month of Ramadan, to give alms, and to make the pilgrimage to Mecca if you're healthy enough and economically prosperous enough to do that. And that is the way to earn salvation. Muhammad does not die for his followers. In fact, he admits he's a sinner and confesses his sins at times. Muhammad simply points the way to the 5 pillars and says, this is what you do to earn eternal life. And yes, in a radical sense, if you fly an airplane into a building, your reward in heaven is that much greater. But what does Christianity say? Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7 says this. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, Christianity is the way of the cross. And Jesus wasn't picked out of a pantheon of gods. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was God. It was Father, Son, Holy Spirit who said to Moses, when God asked Moses to go to Israel, and Moses was afraid of Pharaoh, what do I say to Pharaoh? God says to Moses, you tell him, I am sent you. You see, Jesus wasn't created. He wasn't picked from an a la carte group of deities. Jesus is God. He was and is and always will be. And he does not ask you to earn your salvation. He earned it for you. His mercy, his blood, his grace, his righteousness is what we depend upon. And his character is flawless. And so here's what I encourage you to do. You have friends who are Muslims. I encourage you in a posture of humility to pursue those relationships. Enjoy those friendships. You know, include them in your circle. If you work with them, value their input, value their contribution. They're people who need Jesus. And I think, especially in America, there are people who, if you take a humble position and approach toward inquiring of their beliefs and sharing the gospel with them, that you will find interested and curious individuals, some of whom will turn to faith in Jesus. And who knows, maybe write a book. I don't know. I don't know what happened to those three guys. I helped change a tire. But I know this. God calls us to be his witnesses, to evangelize. Anyone who doesn't know Jesus needs to know Jesus, regardless of whether they're Hindu, Muslim, an atheist, an agnostic, they need Christ. And we ought to approach them with a sense of having some awareness of where they come from, what they value, what their heritage is, and be sensitive to that and prayerful about how to engage in relationships. I want to encourage you to think and study and do some research on this subject, maybe even read this book. But be aware. Don't just sandwich all religions together and say, well, you know, we all worship the same God. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. And so we ought to pray. We ought to support missions. When it comes to this work, it's an important work.